difficult questions to answer when witnessing to non-believers is the dilemma of innocent suffering. This question is usually posed in a manner such as this. If God were all good, he would desire all his creatures live perfectly happy lives. And if he were all powerful, he could do as he wished. Then why does he allow the innocent to suffer? Put another way, it may be asked, how can a loving, just, and all-powerful creator permit the cruel and evil events which often befall humans? This is an old question. One that has confounded men, at least since the time of Job was written. It's an honest question, deserving an answer. But it's also a difficult question, even for theologians. Several answers have been provided in the past and are still in use. The following is a review of the most prevalent answers offered by recent writers on the subject. A current view, widely held, is that evil is the price we pay for the greater benefit of freedom in the universe allowed by God. If the possibility of evil did not exist, mankind would be free to love God, would not be free to love God by choice, and thereby become part of God's own family. Humans would be compelled to love God. And the creation of a bunch of robots lacking the freedom to choose him out of love was not in God's design. We learn from the book of Job that neither should we love God because he can provide us with abundant gifts. It's assumed by nearly all theologians today that God wants us to love him unconditionally, simply because he's God and we're his creatures. And he loves us unconditionally. A prevalent view among ancient Hebrews, as well as those of Jesus' day, was that all disasters, as well as disease, pain, etc., were the result of wrongdoing or sin of the person afflicted. This is assumed by many today, and one would have to agree that much human suffering can be attributed to the immoral choices made by the individuals themselves. As some would say, they're getting what they deserve. Yet we know that much suffering is visited upon the totally innocent. This was the dilemma of Job. His friends advised him to admit the sins he had committed and ask God for forgiveness. But Job knew he had committed no sin. And so his question remained, why? In chapter 9, Job seems to be ready to abandon the assumption that God is good. He wonders, perhaps God is so powerful he does not need to be good. He may seem to be good, punishing the wicked and rewarding the righteous, but being all powerful, he has no compulsion to do so. Rabbi Harold Kushner, in his book, When Bad Things Happen to Good People, suggests that God is not all-powerful. God is really good, he says, and would like only good things to happen to good people. But some things are beyond his control. Not all events are part of an orderly universe. Some things happen by chance, and God has no control. C.S. Lewis, in his book, The Problem of Pain, says that pain or evil is God's way of making us realize that something is wrong with the way we conduct our lives and our world. If pain or evil did not exist, we would continue smugly along present paths without realizing the need to change. Lewis reminds us that God made us for himself. Only by surrendering ourselves to him completely can we achieve the state of perfection he envisions for us. Only when we experience things going badly will we realize the need to change, to use Lewis's words, God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts to us in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. In a popular book, Finding God in the Questions, Timothy Johnson addresses the question of evil as the principal one of several he raises. Johnson says that he approaches the problem by attempting to play God and design a better world than the one we have. He admits, however, that no matter how hard he tries, he really cannot imagine a better world than the present one. Surely a major feature of Johnson's new world would be the absence of suffering. He does note, however, that a world without suffering or death would be a world where humans would be incredibly smug. Pursuing pleasure without worry or concern. As he says on page 177 of his book, I find myself torn between the natural desire for a world without suffering and injustice, where we would feast forever on a cosmic silver platter, and the present one, where there is at least the possibility of striving to overcome pain with honest love and real choice. Johnson also notes that suffering and injustice of this world not only provide an opportunity to make it better, but also provide an opportunity to look forward to another time and place where there is ultimate justice and no suffering, a place permeated by love. The last source that I will touch on this morning is the book by James Dobson, When God Doesn't Make Sense. This book contains a series of heart-wrenching stories of sufferings by children and adults who, like Job, were innocent victims. Dobson's advice to such victims refers back to the conclusion drawn by Job. Let us remember that God is creator and man is creature. Not only is God all good and all powerful, he is also all knowing. Man is limited in all three characteristics. That which man is capable of knowing is but a minuscule part of that which is knowable. Most of God's activities are just unknowable to man. Dobson says that when God doesn't seem to make sense, we should remember his greatness and our limitations. That will allow us to maintain our faith in him even when we don't understand. This is also the answer given at the conclusion of Job. After God finally speaks to Job from the storm, Job replies. And in chapter 42, we read his confession to God. I know that you can do all things, Job said. No plan of yours can be thwarted. You ask, who is this that obscures my counsel without knowledge? Surely, I spoke of things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now and I will speak. I will question you and you will answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So, which of these answers will you give when someone poses the question to you? Personally, I cannot accept those answers which place limits on God. I believe that God is all good, that he is all powerful, that he is all-knowing. I can accept that much suffering is a result of immoral choice. Innocent suffering often results from the wrongdoing of those of us who are not so innocent. I can accept that evil exists so man will have the benefit of moral freedom, which is also C.S. Lewis' basic point. through pain, God is trying to wake us up to the need to change our behavior. Johnson's point also seems valid, that the suffering of this world provides an opportunity to strive for a better way. And I, Fred Smith, would add that it provides an opportunity for each of us to grow. When Sarah, my wife of 68 years, passed a few years ago, I was devastated. I cried deeply for nearly 3 months. Anything might set it off. I would see her picture, a bowl she cherished, the chair where she always sat, anything. One evening in my house, it was dark, it was cold, and it was still. And the loneliness overwhelmed me. I went from room to room, calling her, Sarah, Mama, Mom, please come, I need you. But she wasn't there. I began sobbing so hard, I fell to the floor. I had hit rock bottom. I cried to God, Lord, please help me. I can't continue like this. And folks, as clearly as anything I have ever experienced in my life, I heard a voice say into my head, I am Jesus Christ. I will fill that empty spot left in your heart by her departure. And you won't have to feel lonely anymore. Folks, immediately I began to feel good, elated even. I regained my walker and was shouting hallelujahs, got myself ready for bed. And that night I slept peacefully till the next morning. And I have never since felt that kind of loneliness. I began to grow toward love and compassion for others that I never before knew existed. My life is more meaningful than I ever thought it could be after Sarah's death. So yes, suffering will come, and it will hurt, and you may not know why, but don't let it drive you to despair. Call on Jesus. Listen to him. He speaks American English with a southern accent. I know, I've heard him. Join with me. You don't have to have a dead spouse. But if you let Jesus come into your heart, he will raise you up to more glory.